The Defense Department has updated its official list of American casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan. According to the casualty status chart on the Pentagon's website today, 1,152 servicemen and women have died since the beginning of the operations, and more than 7,500 have been wounded in action, although the Pentagon says almost half those troops weren't wounded seriously and returned to duty in a few days. But the Pentagon website doesn't give the full picture of how the missions are affecting the health of American troops. As NPR's Daniel Zwerdling reports, the real toll could be much bigger.
Officials at the Pentagon use a traditional definition to measure how the wars are affecting American troops. It's that narrow definition you keep hearing, wounded in action. Michael Kilpatrick is one of the top medical officers for the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health. He opens the department's instruction manual.
Reading from the Department of Defense Instruction 1300.18, Military Personnel Casualty Matters, Policies and Procedures. A hostile casualty.
And he turns to section E2.1.1.19, which defines inaction.
Inaction characterizes the casualty as having been the direct result of hostile action, sustained in combat or relating thereto, or sustained going to or returning from a combat mission, provided that the occurrence was directly related to hostile action.
But you could use another way to measure the health of American troops. Lieutenant Colonel Donald Cole works for the U.S. Transportation Command at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. He keeps track of every member of the service who's become so seriously injured or sick that they've had to be medevaced out of Iraq and Afghanistan to hospitals in Europe and the United States, even if they weren't directly hurt by bombs or bullets. He says as of Monday, here's the official total.
20,245 patients evacuated.
So you're saying that 20,000 troops now have been so seriously injured or sick that they've had to be medevaced out of Iraq and Afghanistan?
Correct.
If you want to meet some of the troops who make up that number, start at the Army's Walter Reed Hospital here in Washington, D.C. When I visited one of the patients the other day, he came hobbling to greet me at his bedroom door. He was leaning heavily on a cane. He slumped in his wheelchair to rest. There was a long handle with a metal hook beside him.
So right now, still use what they call a claw to help me put my shoes on and even to help me slip on my socks.
This soldier is 22 years old. He has a smooth face and glasses. His name is Thomas. He doesn't want to use his full name because he's worried he might get in trouble for speaking out. And Thomas says back in April, he was driving a truck in a convoy down a dangerous road in Iraq. Suddenly, another Army truck swerved toward him, apparently to avoid a landmine. So Thomas swerved to avoid a crash.
Immediately lost control, spinning, hitting loose gravel and other debris on the side of the road and flipping several times, crushing me inside of the vehicle and my passenger.
He says his doctors aren't sure if he'll be able to walk again without a cane. But the Pentagon does not count Thomas as wounded in action. His official paperwork states he had a motor vehicle traffic accident. That means he didn't get a Purple Heart, and that upsets him.
I was specifically on a mission, doing my duty and my part to keep the mission, the daily mission, going. I feel like I should be counted as one of the soldiers that was wounded in action as serving my country in Iraq.
The way Lieutenant Colonel Van Coots sees it, that kind of policy makes sense. Coots is one of the top advisors in the Army Surgeon General's office. He says a lot of troops have been injured in traffic accidents in Iraq, but that doesn't have anything to do with the war.
The average person, when they talk about non-battle injuries, still has a tendency to kind of relate those always to the combat mission, and that's not the case. Soldiers may get fractures or broken bones and things like that if, say, for instance, they fall off the back of a truck, or if they step into a ditch and fall over, or a piece of equipment falls on them as they're moving a heavy piece of equipment. That happens back in the United States. That also happens forward in theater as well.
Army records show that more than 4,000 soldiers have been evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan with badly broken bones or brain damage or other physical injuries that they didn't get in action. More than 800 soldiers have been evacuated for mental illness, including serious depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. None of them has been counted as wounded in action either. And consider the troops who've contracted diseases. Michael Kilpatrick says that more than 600 troops in Iraq have contracted leishmaniasis. It's caused by parasites which burrow under the skin. Kilpatrick says none of the soldiers who's been affected so far has died, but he says their faces and bodies can get covered with huge, oozing ulcers.
And they will continue to just fester. I think the term Baghdad boil is often used to describe them from that area of the world.
He says some patients can be disfigured for life.
But it would not be considered a wounded in action.
The doctor in the Surgeon General's office, Van Coots, says it's true some diseases like leishmaniasis are caused by the unique conditions in Iraq. But he says not most of them.
The diseases are the same types of diseases that you would see in the United States in that population. There are soldiers that have come into treatment facilities there with cancer, and they're evacuated back.
Mm-hmm.
Patients who have been diagnosed with irritable bowel disease. There are patients that come in with migraine headaches.
What do your analyses show, though, in terms of the rate of injuries and illnesses that the soldiers are getting in Iraq and Afghanistan are greater than or the same as what they would get if they were, you know, back at their bases in Missouri and Idaho?
Well, actually, if you look at those outside of the actual combat injuries, they're running about the same.
Coote said he'd send me the studies right away, which show that. But he never did. An Army spokeswoman named Lynn Kugrel eventually got back to me, and she said it turns out that, quote, there are no official Army studies, unquote, that compare the rates of injuries and illnesses in Iraq and Afghanistan with the usual rates back in the United States. Actually, the medical advisor to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health seems to have a slightly different take. Michael Kilpatrick says the physical and emotional stress of serving in these wars, the intense heat, the swirling sand, all those things can help trigger health problems, including heart disease.
Certainly, as we take a look at cardiac symptoms, we are seeing individuals tending to be older age deployed personnel put under those physiological and psychological stressors. Whether they would have had those conditions at home, you can't do that kind of comparison.
And that brings us back to the question that we started with. How have the missions in Iraq and Afghanistan affected the health of American troops? Remember, officials at the Pentagon answered that 7,500 troops have been wounded in action. They say almost half those troops weren't seriously hurt, so they returned to duty within a few days. On the other hand, Lieutenant Colonel Donald Cole says
20,245
have become so injured or sick from a variety of causes that they've had to be medevaced to hospitals in Europe and the United States. And he says most of those troops couldn't return to duty for weeks or months. Daniel Zwerdling, NPR News.